Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 21 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we thank the Lord for this radio station, all the prayers and provision, and especially for you, the listener, for those of you who've been with us for many years. We appreciate you. We thank you. We thank you for your support. And if this is your first time today tuning in to this broadcast, we hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about death, life after death, what happens to us after we die. And this message was formulated because of last week's message on the resurrection and what the resurrection of Jesus Christ teaches us, what it points to for our own lives, and what we can know about our own life and our own death because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to John. We're going to start in John chapter 11, which is the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus' friend Lazarus. And so once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on in Kenya? We're deep into the project of building a primary school, grades 1 through 8, for 200 to 300 students there in Makunda Village. And this is going to be a big project. It's going to put our stamp in that village. We're going to be able to draw children in from many different parts of the village, places. There's about 10 to 15,000 people in Makunda Village, and many of them are of different religions. And so it will be an opportunity for us to tell them about Jesus, tell stories about Jesus, sing songs about Jesus. And at the same time, we're giving them their ABCs and basic education. We'll be able to evangelize them and put some seeds into their heart and into their mind that they wouldn't ordinarily get in other schools in that area. And so this is an opportunity for you to move the kingdom forward. If you want details on this project, email me purepurry@hotmail.com, and I'll get you more details, get you drawings of the project, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to keep this project going. So if you think this is something you could help us with, let me know and we'll get you more information on it. Well, today we're going to be talking about the resurrection and the life after death that we have in our knowledge and in our confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and our Savior. And so what does Jesus' resurrection have to do with our own life? What does it teach us about our own life and about the afterlife that we have after we are finished with this life here on this earth? And I can tell you, beloved, after being on people's deathbed and also evangelizing and talking to many, many people over the years that I've been in ministry, I can tell you that fear of death is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, motivation for people not only to come to the Lord, but also to stay away from the Lord. People just don't trust the fact that there is any benefit to knowing Jesus Christ. They don't trust the fact that there is actually a heaven after this life, and they don't think there's a hell either in many cases, but they don't trust the fact that God's word says that if you trust your life with Jesus Christ and you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will be in heaven for all eternity. And so this is what Jesus addressed. Many times when he was teaching people, he addressed the fact that there was life after death. There was life eternal in heaven with Jesus Christ, and there was death eternal in hell for those who did not confess Jesus Christ. And so this goes to the heart of your confession. It goes to the heart of your decision. And actually, really, no decision is a decision, because if you never choose to choose Jesus Christ, if you never choose to serve him and make him your Lord and your Savior, and you think that somehow everything is just going to work itself out, that is in itself a decision, and that is a decision against confessing for Jesus Christ. And so you will pay the consequences, or you will reap the consequences of that decision in making no decision. So we're going to look at John chapter 11, and this is the story of Jesus' friend Lazarus, who had been sick, and he had eventually succumbed to his illness, and Jesus waited 4 days to go and see the family of Lazarus, waited 4 days to go to the tomb where Lazarus was laid, because Jesus wanted to make a statement about his power over death. And he kept saying, as he was on his way to this village where Lazarus was laid, he kept saying that you're going to see the glory of God in this story. That when you believe that I have power over death, when you believe that and understand that, that you're going to see the glory of God in that statement. You're going to see the glory of God when Lazarus is raised from the dead. And so this was a testimony to the power of Jesus. It was a testimony to the fact that he was truly the Son of God, that he was divine, and that he had the power to lay his life down, and he had the power to raise his life up. Well, in John chapter 11, verse 23, Martha, one of the sisters of Lazarus, has run to Jesus, and she said to Jesus, "Jesus, if you had been here before Lazarus died, he would not have died. You would have been able to save him." And Jesus wasn't concerned about that, because he had a purpose in waiting. He had a purpose in delaying. And that purpose was, as I spoke, he was wanting to show the people the power that he had over death. And so he says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to Jesus, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Well, she was talking about the gathering up of the saints. She had a concept of the rapture, and when Jesus will come back to gather up the saints, the body of the saints, and take them to heaven. And so that was the resurrection that she was talking about. But that wasn't the resurrection that Jesus was talking about. He was talking about your brother's going to rise again right here this day, and you're going to see it, and you will see the glory of God when it happens. And so Jesus said to her, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Well, we're all going to die. There's nobody that has escaped death here on this earth. You may live to be 100. You may even live to be 105 or 110. It's not too likely, but it does happen. But the chances of you living beyond 110 is very, very slim. And you're going to die, so you might as well start preparing for it in your mind this day, and understand that you're going to be just like all of the other people who have gone before you, and you're going to die. Outside of Enoch and outside of Elijah, every single person who has lived on this earth has died. And so you're going to be among those who also die. And so Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." So he was talking to her about eternal life, what happens after we die. And then in verse 26, "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And then comes the confession from Martha. This is the confession that we all make when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, which is basically just saying, "Do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? He says he is the Son of God. He says he came to destroy the works of the devil. He says he came to seek and save those who are lost. And so if you believe that and you confess that with your mouth, then you are saved. Then if you die, when you die, not if you die, but when you die, then you're going to be living with Jesus for all eternity, and you're living with him now when you confess Jesus as your Lord, but after you die, you're going to be living with him for all eternity. Well, Jesus said in verse 40, when he went to the tomb and he was standing in front of the tomb and all these people were around, and in verse 40, Jesus said to Martha, did I not say to you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And then in verse 49, Caiaphas, at the end of this whole session, well, Lazarus had come out of the grave and Jesus spoke to him, said, come out. He came out of the tomb and the grave clothes were on him, and Jesus said, release him. And so Lazarus came out, and then Caiaphas, who was the high priest in that time at that place, he says in verse 49, you know nothing at all, verse 50, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. And verse 51, now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one all the children of God who were scattered abroad. In other words, Caiaphas was prophesying that this man was going to die for people all over the world. Nations and people scattered abroad would be then covered by Jesus, covered by the blood of Jesus, and that he was not dying just for one certain man or one certain people, but he was dying for people all over the world. Well, that was a astounding revelation that was given to Caiaphas. It did not come from man, it came from God. And so Caiaphas had an understanding of the reason why Jesus was there on the earth, why Jesus was saying that I am the Son of God, I am the Son of Man, and if you see me, you've seen God. All of these things Jesus was saying about himself, Caiaphas understood that by revelation, that Jesus was divine and there was something unusual about his walk on the earth. Well, the second point, besides the fact that Jesus had power over death, he disarmed the enemies and he appeared to many after the resurrection. Well, by saying he disarmed his enemies, what do you mean? Well, he was nailed to the cross. Did he really disarm his enemies? Yes, he disarmed them by, after the third day, he was resurrected and he disarmed them, proving to the devil that the devil did not have power over him. The devil had no power over his life or over his death, that Jesus Christ had power over his own life and power to raise his life, his body, from the dead. Colossians 2, verse 15 says that Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Well, those powers and principalities were not the civil authorities or the civil governors or the people in power in that region at that time. No, what he's talking about was the powers and principalities of the demonic realm. Those entities in the demonic realm, primarily Satan and the principalities over that area that Satan used to take Jesus to the cross, first find him guilty in a trial, and then take him to the cross, have him scourged, have him beat up, take him to the cross, crucify him with common thieves and common robbers. And then when Jesus rose after 3 days, he made a public spectacle of those demonic entities. He showed them that they had no power over him. He showed them that all of their efforts to destroy him had come to naught. Well, in Ephesians 2, verse 20, again, Paul talks about this, that God worked in Jesus. God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. And so verse 21 then in Ephesians chapter 2, far above, he seated him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, earthly and in the supernatural realm, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And so he was seated far above all principality and power. Jesus was no longer subject to anything that the devil could put on him. Jesus was seated far above them, and even to this very day, he's still seated far above them. If you read the book of Job, you realize that the devil has to come and ask Jesus or ask God for permission to attack Job. And God is sovereign, so is Jesus Christ. They have sovereign control over your life. They have sovereign control over the life of every single person, every event on this earth. But at the same time, God gives us free will to make choices. He doesn't want puppets. He doesn't manipulate us as puppets. He gives us free will to make choices to follow him. And so because of that free will that we have the choice. Choose for yourself this day, either life or death. Choose for yourself this day that you want to live with Jesus for all eternity, or you want to deny him and live in darkness where the worm never dies, where the fire goes out. And so that is the choice that you and every other person on the earth has to make each and every day. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are alive in him. And he says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. And so we were all, before we came to know Jesus Christ, we were all in disobedience. We walked in the power of the course of this world, which is the devil's course. That is like a pathway through this world, which is ruled and directed by the devil. Devil is the ruler of this world, even though he has been judged guilty and even though he knows his time is up, he's still the ruler of this world. He hasn't been bound. And so that's why you see so much chaos and corruption and mayhem and disobedience. And Paul says, we were all that way before we came to know Jesus Christ. You who were made alive, you were once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. And so now you have been raised up. So by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he showed us that we are positionally also resurrected and seated in the heavenly places. And so our eventual resurrection after our death will also be consummated. Our resurrection, we will be sitting with Jesus for all eternity in heaven with him. But even now, as we live, we are positionally resurrected. As long as we confess Jesus, we are positionally resurrected. We walk in newness of life. The old man has died. Behold, all things are new. And so we walk in newness of life as Jesus was also resurrected. Well, Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, Jesus and God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so our perspective is that we're looking at our life from our seat in heaven. Our perspective is we have the same perspective on our life as God has on our life. He looks down at our life here on the earth. He looks down on us and he sees us covered by the blood of Jesus. He sees us walking with circumspect, and he sees us walking with understanding that we are children of God. The decisions we make are according to God's word, according to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And so positionally, we are already resurrected. Positionally, we are walking in the course of Jesus Christ in the pathway that he has made for us. Well, Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there was many witnesses that saw Jesus after he was resurrected. And so the authenticity of the Bible, the infallible word of God, that infallible word tells us that there were many people that saw Jesus after he was resurrected. And so we know from historical record, and you can try to discount the Bible if you want, you can call the Bible fables if you want, but if you try to prove the Bible wrong, I challenge you to do that. Go look at historical records, go look at even secular recordings and secular incidents of people who recorded things that happened with the life of Jesus, the book of Josephus and other books. If you look at those, you'll find out that the Bible is true, that every account of Jesus, including after he was resurrected, all those accounts are true. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what we know about Jesus, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen first by Cephas. Well, we know that Peter was the first of the apostles to see him, and then by the 12, and verse 6, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. He's saying most of them are still alive. Those of the 500 that saw him, most of them are still alive. And after that he was seen by James, that was the brother of Jesus, and then by all the apostles. And then Paul says in verse 8, then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Well, Paul is talking about when he was on the way to Damascus, he was going to persecute Christians. And he probably had seen Jesus, I'm sure, at some point in Jerusalem. And he probably maybe even had spoken to Jesus. It's not recorded in the Bible, but it's possible. But the incident he's talking about here was when he was on his way to Damascus to pull Christians out of their house and put them in prison. He thought he was doing the work of God, but Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appeared to him and told him, Paul, Paul, why? Or he called him Saul at that time. That was his name, Saul, before he became Apostle Paul. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goats? Jesus was saying, I've been trying to prod you, just like a goat herder tries to prod the sheep and the goats. He's saying, I've been trying to prod you, but you're kicking against the goads, you're rebelling, you're running away. And so he blinded him on the road to Damascus, and he appeared to him as a bright light, and Jesus spoke to him, and Saul knew who it was, because he said, Lord, Lord. And Jesus spoke to him and said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Well, Jesus in his mercy gave Saul 3 days to make a decision. Although he was blinded, there were scales on his eyes, he was given 3 days to make a decision, and he made the right decision. He chose to serve Jesus, even though Jesus was showing him he must suffer much for his sake. He made the right decision, and of course we know the rest is history. Saul went on to become Apostle Paul, the great first missionary recorded in the Bible, at many mission trips up into Asia, Southern Europe, and all the way over to Rome. And then Saul was persecuted and given up to death, martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so we have 13 books of the Bible recording all of Saul's missionary adventures and his service to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with the scripture in Matthew 27, verse 52, when Jesus was on the cross, the veil was torn at the temple, and the graves were opened after the resurrection. It says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, that is, who had already died, were raised up. And coming up out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city, that is, they went into Jerusalem and appeared to many. And so God wanted to show that there was power over death, that there was power in Jesus' resurrection, even in the people who had died at that time, and people who had been dead for weeks or months, maybe even years, came back to life, walked around in Jerusalem, and proved to the many people there in Jerusalem the fact that God had power over death. He not only showed it in the life of Jesus Christ, but he showed it in mortal men who had been buried in that city. Well, we see the same thing happening today. Sometimes people have death or near-death experiences. God takes them up to heaven, shows them the reality of heaven. Jesus escorts them around in heaven. Some people, he even shows the reality of hell. So they will come back and give a testimony. Many books written about that. You can see the movie Heaven is for Real. And there's other movies and books been written about the reality of heaven and hell. And so it is real. Beloved, heaven is real. Hell is real. And you are in the valley of decision. Some of you are afraid of death because you're in that valley of decision. You haven't made that decision for your life. And I urge you today, pick up your Bible, start reading it. I urge you today, you can get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And if you have questions or comments, we'll be happy to communicate with you and talk to you about your life and your death and your life after you die. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can use your credit or your debit card at paypal.me/gatheroutcast. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcast. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao. See pictures of the ministry over in Africa. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.